All glory to God. We're no longer slaves to fear. No longer a slave to fear. Oh, glory to God. Let's just sing that chorus just a couple of more times. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Let's just sing it a couple of times. To God. Let's have our seats. My Harry, thank you. You know, it's funny because I was going to tell him, I was going to ask that Christy, who is leading today? I want them to sing this song. And I said, no problem. Well, they should just sing whatever they want to sing. And then I just sat back at it. I was just singing almost all the songs I wanted to tell him to sing. I'm like, okay, glory. Praise God. Okay, today's topic is living above fear. So I want our sister, isn't it, please come forward. Let all of us just sit these three lines. Thank you, including booking. If you know you have no business with the sound or whatever is going on back there, just come forward. And let us focus. Praise God. Let's limit movements as much as possible, except it's absolutely necessary. Today we are talking about living above what? Living above what? And you can put a slash, the life of faith, like opposite, whatever. But it's living above fear. Are we ready? Are we ready? Joshua, are you doing anything relating to the sound? One person. Praise God. Okay. All right, let us start. Living above fear / the life of faith. Okay? So, fear generally, or phobos, no, I don't do many of those things. So, it can mean two things. Either fear, as we know, it's dread, terror, or reverence, which is the one they usually say, to God or towards your spouse. Say, wives, fear your husband. It's in the Bible. Fear your husband. So, all those, praise God. Hallelujah. So, we're in church. Wives, fear your husband. So, that part is reverence. But today, we are talking about the first part, which is dread or terror. That's what we are focusing on. So, living above that. Living above fear. And, literally, no too much meaning. It just means to be afraid. When you are afraid of something, someone, a circumstance, anything, that's fear. Okay? And it's not necessarily, you know, fear expresses itself. Many of us, when the only way we can attribute fear is when we see this, or maybe you're watching a horror movie and then something just pops up and then all of a sudden you're like, so that is just fear. No, fear translates to and manifests in different areas. Worry is fear. So when you are worried about something, it's actually because you are afraid that something is beyond your control. Do you understand? So it is fear also translating in that. So don't just see fear in terms of, anyway, we're going to look into the different phases of fear. All right, so Genesis 3:10, let us see how fear was introduced in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Are we there? And this was Adam. This is Adam speaking. And he said, Lord, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Lord, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So we see where fear was introduced in the Bible. Before that, we saw man walking in dominion, exercising all authority. He was the best he could be, in quotes. Then he was Lord over all the creation. He could do this, he could do that, he could say to this, come, and say to that, go. Then we see how fear, well, the first mention, how fear was introduced was Adam. And that was a consequence of what? Sin. Praise God. So fear is one of the offshoots of sin. It was not created in the beginning when God created, in quotes. It was not there from Genesis 1, it wasn't there in Genesis 2. So fear was introduced as a result of sin. So when you find sin, you automatically find fear because it goes hand in hand. It is like the direct offshoot. It's one of the curse of sin. Praise God. So one action of sin reversed all the authority we saw man dominating in Genesis 1 and 2. Just one action. Just like flipped the coin and man became the opposite of what we saw him doing in Genesis 1 and 2. We suddenly saw a man that was hiding himself from a voice. He just heard a voice and then he went to hide because of sin. So to handle fear, we must first of all talk about sin. Praise God. All right, so since that time, fear has been a constant companion of man. It has just been in the earth. It has not left. It has just been a constant companion. Fear just like glued himself to man from Genesis 3. And fear expresses itself in various directions. We have talked about that. It can be in the form of worry. It can be in the form of doubt. Even doubting about something, not despair. Feeling like, okay, you have reached the crossroad, you have reached the end. That feeling, everything summarizes is fear. Praise God. All right, so let's see, before we go into living above fear, what are the basic kind of fears we can relate to as men? What are the examples of fear that grips us as men, that are common to men, that we can find and say, okay, when you see this action at play, or when you see this working, this is fear expressing itself, no matter how much it tries to cover itself. You know, one of the tools of the enemy is ignorance. The fact that it tries to cover something, so you will not know that that's what is at work. You just think that, okay, it's normal. It's just one of those things. But you must know and recognize, when you recognize something for what it really is, that, okay, this is fear, then you can handle it effectively. Praise God. All right, so we see one of the things that most humans are afraid of, which is fear of the unknown. You know, this anxiety about the future. I'm sure many of us had that when we were younger. We're still young, of course. When we are younger, as in our teenage years, okay, you just stay a teenager. Well, I mean, even now, there are some persons that will just have this, I know there are times I used to just sit in the front of my mom's shop, then I'll just be looking into space. And I'll be able to see the cars passing, like, what is going to happen of my life? What am I going to be in this life? How am I going to, as you know, that you're just unnecessarily worried. For how old are you? Probably just 10, 11. And you're already thinking ahead, like, will there be this person that, you know, that's anxiety. What if I sleep and don't wake up tomorrow? What if, what the plenty, what ifs? So that unnecessary fear and anxiety about tomorrow, about the unknown, about what you cannot see, about what you don't have a firm grasp of, once you start becoming overly anxious or despairing about that, watch it. That is what? Fear. Praise God. All right, so another fear we have, which, of course, most added to the fact because of the country we find ourselves in, our economy, is the fear of poverty. Praise God. I know that that is a literal fear, as a literal. You can literally touch it in some person's, when they are in some person's speech. They are literally afraid of being poor, being afraid of not being able to eat, not being able to provide for themselves. In fact, a lot of men, young men in quotes, when you interact with them, the reason why they're not married, they'll tell you that, please, I've not been able to take care of myself fully. That's going to take up another responsibility. I don't want that kind of stress. Let me just focus on my life. Focus. Let me just that fear of how will my wife ask me for 1 million naira, according to that woman of God, and I will not be able to give her. My wife should be able to ask me for 1 million naira, and I just give her. So because of that fear, I actually know someone that said he will not marry until he earns consistently 1 million naira every month. So that's I don't know. What is making you have that kind of projection? Watch it. Is it fear? Is it the fact that you don't want to be broke? You don't want to have a situation where your children will ask you, Daddy, I want this thing. And then you're like, look unto the Lord. A man's life does not consist. You have a quoting Bible for your 5-year-old daughter. Please. And I know many persons have that fear. So because of that, it's keeping them in one kind of cage, in one kind of limitation, fear of poverty. It is very real. And society has put so much pressure, especially on the men, that you must be able to provide for your house, you must be able to provide for your household. It is the amount of money you bring into your house that shows how much of a man you are. There are some men that when they are bringing in millions, the woman there don't talk anyhow. Like, who are you? Do you know how much I give you for pocket money? Imagine you're giving your wife 5 million naira a month for pocket money. You are the lord of your household. Glory to God. You just tell her, sit down there, I'm talking. She will just sit down quietly because she knows from whom our Lord and Master is the source, the author and finisher of our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Praise the Lord. So many men want that form of authority. They've attributed that ability to provide as one of the attributes or the offshoots of them being manly. So because of that, they don't even want to hear that. Marriage, leave that one. Let us settle ourselves first. Anyway, so be careful. Why are you afraid of being married? If I ask you, why are you not yet married? And then you start talking about money, finances. We just know that what is doing you? What is happening to you? The brothers in the house, what is happening? Fear of poverty. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll break that fear today. Today, there is power in the house. We will break the fear. Hallelujah. So by next year, we'll be seeing. This year is still young. April, we should be having more invitation to weddings. We should enjoy ourselves yesterday. We want to go to more. Praise God. All right, so another fear that we have expressing ourselves in men is the fear of disasters, fear of accidents. That fear is very, 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 very real. And things are not helping matters. Imagine you just going on your own. You're going on your own, peacefully. Like the day we were driving down to church, we're just happy, having a nice time. You can even be praying in tongues, singing in tongues, and all of a sudden you just see a crowd of people gathered around one place. One trailer has capsized, one dead body is covered here, one this one. So immediately there is this consciousness again. Nigerian roads. Our throats are not safe. Somebody will just be on his own, and car with the trailer will just come and crush that person. You know, the persons can't travel. As in, they cannot travel. For them to travel, they must have spent 1 hour, no, 1 month speaking in tongues, just covering the journey with the blood of Jesus, just covering their life, their destiny, their future, everything with the blood. Otherwise, they will not enter. They can't travel. Even when we were in the bus yesterday, the person came to pray and covered the driver, covered the bus, covered the tire with the blood of Jesus. I'm like, glory to God. Praise God. So fear of, seriously, it is, many of, and once they start praying that kind of prayer, you will just see mature men, everybody just shouting, amen. Because it's real. Nobody wants to die. Accidents will not see this. Amen. No arm robbers. Amen. If you tell those same persons, Christ died for you. You are the righteousness of God. You will never go to hell. They will be arguing with you. Who told you? How are you sure? Are you not saying? But once you tell them, accidents will not claim you. Pray that your destiny will not be overturned by the destiny changer. And then you are just go. So you can judge with that who or what exactly you are afraid of. Praise God. So fear of disasters. A lot of persons are afraid. They cannot, they are just, you know, and it's not, I don't really blame them. because of the society we actually find ourselves. You just hear of bomb scare. You know, my friend was telling me a situation of, you know, I deliberately don't follow CNN anymore. You just start hearing of one reckless human being just goes into school with a gun and then you are shooting innocent students. Like, why? There are things that you cannot just comprehend. A student was expelled and then you come back to the same school with a big gun and you're just picking off students and like chicken. Or someone that stood on his hotel room in Las Vegas and was just pointing gun from inside his hotel room and was just picking people on the streets that were walking. Or the person that just drove around, just carried a car and then drove into the pedestrian sidewalk and are just clearing anything you see. So a lot of, when you just sit down on the news, you'll be like, again? Or the ones that they were just telling us in the bus, the man, nobody asked you for information, you're just telling them, you know Boko Haram has killed 13 soldiers again. Like, calm down now, guy, we are traveling. Even in this country, there's no peace anymore. You cannot challenge them. He said, what's this one? They said they are fighting, shy, they were just calling all the plenty uprising, blah, blah, blah. Even policemen cannot, even soldiers are powerless. And you're like, okay, so what is now the hope? Don't give us any solution. You're just spreading fear. So that fear of disasters has made a lot of persons, has crippled a lot of persons from actually doing a lot, just enjoying a free life, a life free of whatever, because of fear. So it's one of the other ways that fear can entangle us. All right, so another way fear manifests in our midst is fear of failure. You know, that one is really strong. Fear, next to poverty. Fear of failure. It is strong. You know, those days, persons, when they are sharing report cards in school, there's some persons that will just stay in school until their parents come to find them. Because they hope that by staying in school, the anxiety that would have caused their parents would overshadow the effects of the report card that they are holding. So they just see the report card. They just stay in school and play ball all day until the parents go, where have you been? The parents just forget about the report card, so you don't ask. That failure, you know what it brings to you. And that has also translated to the fact that in a lot of things, you know, I don't know how many of you had the end of year graduation that your parents will come and they will be announcing, you know, that thing was very unfair. All parents will come and then they will call only three students in the class. Best in English. And the parents will run out from the crowd and come and snap picture with the child and they'll be putting their hand around their shoulder with so much pride. Best in mathematics. Best overall, best students. And if I saw the father will just go and position it, does not even go far, he just stands close because he knows that they are calling the child. Yeah. So all of all, of course, I was part of the category of persons they were giving those rewards. So, you know, I was I can't lie, I'm in the pulpit. I did not say best in mathematics. Don't disgrace me. We are alive, please. I did not say best in mathematics. And I know all things through Christ that strengthens me. Praise God. But this English language, glory. So I still have those pictures that my father would just blend. So yeah, that was it. And then the other prayer, if the year comes that there was no, you didn't get anything. You know, I used to see other parents as they're going, not be your mates that they call so. Not be the same mama born then. They get too head. You know, you just be seeing each other. Maybe Richard, I go, you know that kind of, so that the child is already overwhelmed over how many persons can get the prize? It's only one. So just give glory to the person that got there and go. But the person, so that's the fear of, I have failed again, I have disappointed this person. I'd already, in fact, crippled persons from that young age. In fact, I've even seen parents from primary school, that's how many schools is they don't put report position anymore in their students' report card. Because parents, if even the children, I had our last born, when she was it 5 or 6, she would come back from with her report card, she would analyze the report card. I didn't do that. 6 years old, she would be less than 6. She would carry mathematics. She would now say, but I missed only 3 points now. This is 90, this one. She will calculate everything. Why then I still have 6 positions? And then she will not want to eat. She will literally be upset that she had 6. And the result is distinction. Everything was distinction. So we will not take her to school. Like, please, what happened? Just to give her, there was nothing like the difference between you and the first person was like 6 points, 6 marks, or even 4. those kind of class that one, first, second, and third will take the same score, and then you now push the next person following down to fourth. That was what was happening to them. So every parent was coming to complain, and they just, okay, no more position. Be satisfied with the fact that you passed. So at that age, there was already the competitive, this thing, I don't want to fail. I don't want to disappoint myself. I don't want to disappoint society. And that's because some persons, rather than fail, they rather not try. So you just say, I beg, school is not for me. I said to the person, I beg, school is not for me. The talk and everything has just, or even in terms of even ministry, you do, I like, they say, we call it, the Bible also teaches about healing and receiving healing, and then you see practical demonstration here, and then you go home, and then you try and do the same thing, and you just lay hands, and then the person tell you, what did you do to me? My belly is not paying me more than it was. And you're like, what's that? And then you just, I beg. Let me redeem my lane. I'll not do it again. That fear of failure that you did something and it did not work out, I'd rather not just, at least if you did not lay hands, it's just assume that you have the power, that you just don't want to use it. But when you not lay hands and you can't see any physical change, that's when that dawns on you that, no, this thing did not work. So you rather just appease your mind that, okay, I didn't do anything. I'm good. I'm fine. The power is there. When I want to come out, it will come out. Glory to God. So that fear of failure, not being able to achieve a desired goal or objective, has made a lot of persons refuse to try again, reluctant to even try again. A lot of things we're afraid of, fear of demons, spiritual wickedness. You know, this, you say, spiritual, and there are a lot of prayers. We think that some churches that try to make you pray against demons are actually giving you control over them, whereas they are bringing it more and more into your consciousness. So you imagine coming to church or holding one whole 6 hours all night on top of one demon. Demon of succubus and what's that one? Incubus and succubus. And then you are praying against that. It has filled your mind. It has filled it. Or in fact, you'll be seeing them in your dream. You will close your, in fact, you open your eye, you'll be seeing incubus and succubus right in front of you. Because that's all that is your consciousness. You just imagine, and the pastor will describe how a demon looks like. How something was bringing out fire. How does demon look like? Yeah, who has seen one? Horn and wearing black cloth. And then our Nigerian movies don't even help to sanctify your mind. You just watch. And because of that, there's already this picture in your mind like, demon. So once they put off the light, the person cannot sleep in darkness. Some persons are afraid to even sleep because they say this pressing, whatever they call, pressing thing. Some persons are afraid of going to the village. It's a tangible fear people have. Tangible. Like, go to my village. I beg. I don't want anybody to exchange my destiny for his own. Or I don't want the one that was raining then that you go to the village and an old man will exchange your life for his life. He will not take that thing they were saying. So a lot of persons have just this fear of spiritual power, spiritual things they cannot see, or spiritual powers at work, whatever. I can't fully describe it. So a lot of persons are living under that kind of bondage. There is even the fear of committing sin. For believers, you fear, let us perfect holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, brethren, let us run the race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Men and brethren, even though Jesus has saved you, the Bible calls it a sin that doth so easily beset. There is a reason it is called doth so easily beset. It means it is easy for you to fall into it. You know yourself. There is a particular sin that it is your own that it does so easily beset you. So you can be struggling with this, but you are not struggling with it. So that's one you are struggling with, is your own besetting sin. Exactly, yes, that's the word. Your besetting sin. So because of that, you now live in fear of committing that besetting sin. Every time you are like, oh Lord, I don't want to commit this sin today. Lord, I said, come on, I will not lie today. In the name of Jesus, I will not lie. I will not lie. I will not lie. And then you just come on. In fact, you just keep quiet. I don't want to talk. Bless you. I don't want to lie. So because of the fear of not lying, or the fear, I see a lot of you know your besetting sin. Praise God. So a lot of persons are afraid of even committing sin among believers. Spirit filled, sanctified, tongue talking, fire spitting, glory, and yet they are still afraid of just committing one thing or the other. Anyway, even the fear of death. Fear of death. That one is, I don't know. And then you just hear one sermon that, brethren, We are like a speck of dust. We are like the grass, here today, not here tomorrow. See one vibrant young man with a good job. Ah, his pastor preaching though, testimony to spur you to have faith. One man, any 1 million. In fact, he just got a promotion from New York. After he has been suffering and suffering all his life, he finally got one job that they paid him 1 million naira. He now said, let him go and announce to his five parents that, okay, he has collected his first salary just to go and meet his parents. And Bedren, on his way, a trailer crushed a car, that crushed a bicycle, that crushed a wheelbarrow that he was inside. And then he just died. Oh, Bedren, this thing must not happen to you. Your destiny must... So you see, serve the Lord with all your strength, because you don't know when you will die. You can be here today and tomorrow you are gone. Your life is not guaranteed. Your life is not assured. Who do you think you are? Are you better than my bro? Are you better than, what's that woman? Bimbo Odukoya. Are you better than them? These people did not know they were going to die, but they died. Oh, Benjamin, fear God. And then, what did I actually tell you? Fear God or fear death? Which one? So there's this fear of, you wake up every morning. Benjamin, we are waking up. Any day you wake up and see the day, just thank God, though, because you could have died in your sleep. How many, you not give you statistics of the number of persons that died in their sleep. They don't even know they are dead. They think they are still sleeping. So that whole thing, I'm like, anybody can die today. You can die tomorrow. Okay, there's no need. So a lot of persons are afraid of dying physical death. Is there physical death? Yes. But is this something you should be afraid of? Because, let's not go into that one. So that is one of the lies of the devil too, to make you afraid of dying. So and the more you are conscious about these things, it keeps you from actually living the victorious or triumphant life you can. So a lot of persons, when you hear that kind of testimony now, about somebody that just got a job, and they not tell you, so what is now the purpose of all these things? Vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. And then you just like, what is that for the purpose of living a righteous life? What's the purpose of living a good life? What's the purpose of doing this one? And at the end of the day, you just want to sit back, lay back, I beg. Anyway, so there are so many examples of things that persons are afraid of. We are not going to focus too much on that. If we have seen what fear is, what feeds fear? What is the strength of fear? As in what causes fear? What causes it to, what makes it have this kind of stronghold over people? Because no matter how, even you might be surprised, a lot of believers that are really enjoying the consciousness and realities of who they are in Christ, struggling with one fear or the other. So what is the problem? Why does fear have such a hold? All right, so fear feeds upon information. What makes fear have that kind of stronghold is information. Remember that Genesis 3:10. Let's quickly read it again. See what made why Adam said he was afraid. Genesis 3:10. Are we there? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You see Adam's reason for hiding himself, because he was naked. Do you understand? Before then, did you know he was naked or not? So there was that knowledge, all that information that sin brought, suddenly made him afraid. If the next question I was asked to you, who told you that you were naked? Meaning that the things you hear, the information you receive, the things you allow to bear into your consciousness, those are the things that actually feed fear in your mind. Fear on its own does not really have that, you know, death, wickedness, whatever it is, can just be existing on their own. They do not look for your trouble. Then all of a sudden, somebody tells you about their existence or give you practical examples of things that can happen. And then all of a sudden, you start amplifying to your mind, and that automatically gives fear that power over you. So what gives fear is knowledge or information. All right, so Numbers 13. Let's read one of our popular stories that Pastor usually reads here. Numbers 13. Are we there? From verse 26. Numbers 13:26. This was when the 12 spies, in quote, 12 men had gone out to spy the land, and then they brought back their reports. Numbers 13:26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the seas and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now see verse chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Praise God. So you see the what brought fear? Information. Report. This is the children of Israel on their own. I'm sure even without Moses going to ask for that report, or without the people coming there, they would already have had enough confidence to go and subdue the land. Because they would say, okay, if God can deliver us from Egypt at least, and he has preserved us here, we can, what is Jericho or whatever, that we cannot cross and go and take over. But because of the information people brought, and the funny thing is that most times, the negative report is always the overwhelming one. Now you see the number of persons that went, 10 and 2. Imagine if 10 persons here are shouting and saying one thing, and then one person stands here, or two persons, and shouting and saying the same thing, whose person's voice will drown out? Whose person's voice? That's the way it is. So the society just screams at you, as in, it is, I don't know how to describe it. You put on the news, there is no way you will watch the news for 30 minutes that you will not see at least 25 minutes of that, the bad circumstances that are happening around the world. In fact, I don't know how the policy of news became so much that it is bad news that sells. And then the slightest thing they want to use to overcome that thing is celebrity stories, nothing else. Either they tell you how this one is happening here, how the countries of the world are failing, how the government is failing in this one, how there's insecurity here. You just keep hearing the reports up and down, the ones that they are scrolling beneath, the ones that they are showing you pictures. It just overwhelms your mind. This is what is happening. And then they will not tell you in other news, Chimamanda Adichie has won a prize for this one. How does that counterweigh the effect? Do you understand? They won't say something like, after giving you all the bad things, they'll say, in other news, 5 young men were able to successfully defeat Boko Haram without sword, without knife, nothing. They just attacked Boko Haram men with just their bare hands, and they defeated it. At least if that kind of news came up, it will give you small hope, Abi. Or that some persons just decided, just anything that gives people hope. Nothing. So you see the information that just keeps screaming at you everywhere is just going. In fact, even if you say you don't want to watch it on the news, the people will carry, the news will bring itself to you. Especially if you are in the midst of, you work in an office where people just like to talk. Can't we just travel in a bus for God's sake and everybody just keep quiet? Or just read a book. Or just put up, just be quiet. Must you just give us information about the things that Buhari ate last night, and they want, because people are some persons that have all the news in this country at their fingertips. So even if you don't want to watch news, they will bring the news to you and tell you, this is what is happening, brother, you don't hear. In fact, they pack your things, come up from the north. So that's how I went to buy, one of the men I used to buy at the supermarket I go to shop, think I like to go where I just see everything once. And usually that man's shop is always full, only for me to go to the shop last year, September. I was, give me this one, in order. Give me this one. How can everything happen now? Not because you're sure, B. My sister, I beg go, because the man is an Igbo man. I don't know how this country won't be. They threaten us, say, October 1st, say, make Igbo Park come up for this land. So I don't want to restock until October 1st, don't pass. I know yet, even me, I did not hear it. I did not know that kind of. He said, you never hear him. He's there everywhere. Or that all of us go check out the Igbo Igbo Chop. We just did now, because in case they just say anything, we all carry our boat, we don't go. Information up and down, up and down. Whether you say you don't, it will still come. You don't even need to make any effort. In fact, if you say, okay, you will not watch news, you will put this in your whatever and not listen. As you are going on your own, you will just still be seeing different tragedies happening all around. You see headlines of newspapers screaming at you. So there are lots of, the information is just overwhelming. And the society is doing all it can to feed fear into your mind. And it's not their fault. You know why? Because we live in a world, or we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where the law of sin and death is actually very much at play. The fact that, you know, persons, it's not as if you are trying to live in a bubble, as it were, or saying you are ignoring circumstances. The truth is, that is actually the state of the world as it is. It is bad things are at work, bad things are in operation. We will not deny it. But what are you now supposed to feed on? Praise God. So how do you counter fear? Because if you say you will just be on your own and just be loving God, you will not live above fear. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because whether you like it or not, fear will come at you based on the information that you will see or hear around you. Praise God. All right, so what about the other things that feed fear? Okay, experiences. Another thing that drowns us in fear is experiences. And that is one of the most difficult things to shake off, because the person will be telling you, I'm telling you what I have witnessed. I'm telling you firsthand thing. As this thing I'm telling to you, it has happened to me. All this thing I'm telling to you, it happened to my sister. All this thing I'm telling to you, it happened to my neighbor. That way, you know, that kind of firsthand information that goes around you. And then you tell somebody that, okay, this thing does not have power over you, but somehow you don't seem to believe it because you feel it has actually had power over you in the past. So you don't want to hear anything contrary. And it is hard to present a contrary evidence to you because you feel this thing that I'm talking to you about, so I know I'm. Many persons have been victims of armed robbery, victims of rapes, victims of a lot of things. It takes a lot to break them up from that stronghold or that cage that experience has put them in. Because that's actually the point. You see, persons just, persons get victims of one bad mishap or the other, or even accident, and then suddenly they are scared. You see, somebody that, you say, accident, let's pray above, say, my brother, this our Nigerian, I know which are you talking about. In fact, even if you are very careful, I was on my own, just driving my car. One thing, just road, back, bam. The car somersaulted 50 times. In fact, as I'm here, it is by the mercy of God. I broke one hand, broke one eye, broke one knee. In fact, I spent 2 years in the hospital. So when I'm telling you that I cannot travel on Nigeria road, I know what I'm talking about. Do you understand? That experience just cages a person. Or someone that was robbed. You've seen persons that their houses were robbed, and then for almost 2 years, they cannot sleep at night. It's just, they're just jumpy. Any sound, they're like, any sound. So experience, that's one of the things that feeds fear in our heart. Fear. What feeds fear? What gives fear that power over people? The information, the overwhelming information that comes at them, and the experiences that either they have been subjected to or other persons around them. For example, you see persons in marriage, that you cannot define your own experience but another person's experience. And yet you see persons view about marriages. I know what I'm talking about. All men, I've agreed in my heart that all men cheat. Even my husband can cheat. So, because it is men, I already proposed, you are not married though. You have decided that all men cheat, and so your husband too can cheat, and you have proposed that you are going to handle it and deal with it. You know all the plenty scenarios you have painted in your mind. Why? Because you've seen this person around you, see that my neighbor that I stayed in there, I stayed in one compound 20 years ago. Those people, they were pastors. In fact, the oil on their head was physical. You could see the oil running out. But after they preach in church, like once you get to the house, babe, forget that thing. I know what they're talking about. You will see the woman will blow the man like, the man will give this one uppercut. I have seen it. So don't, and yes, they will still preach. Forget that thing. Or is it the other man? In fact, that man was the bishop of the whole world. Yet, all the fact, I know 5 girls that he slept with. 5. So what are you not telling me? Don't worry. I know, man, just leave that matter. If I'm my own father, let me tell you what my father did to my mother. What my father did to me. You know that strong Jesus experiences is very terrible. It's a terrible thing. And I keep trying, everybody around me, I keep trying to tell, once you just start saying, you give an example, and the reason, because once you say something, I don't want, this is how I want something in my house, or this is how I want to do this, I just ask you why. So that I will know what is informing your choice or what is making you have that decision. If it is the fact that I have seen, this is what I have seen. And the worst thing is that people build experiences from African magic. What is it? You know, like that movie that we were watching that day. How does that affect you? It is so tangible. As in, I thought it was a joke until in my very before, somebody was telling me an exam. How do you know that a believer can be under a curse? How can you prove from scripture that the believer is under a curse? Can the believer be under a curse? Yes. How? Well, you see, like the movie that they showed yesterday. Oh, Jesus. What's the name of that? Spiritual Diary. Yes, that was the title of the movie. Spiritual Diary. You know this strong decoder. All these Christian channels that they will now show a movie, and then you're watching a Christian channel, it's okay, they'll just put one movie there. I'm like, okay, let us be seen. And then you just see Spiritual Diary. The woman at 45 had not married because when she was born, a bride price was paid on her head spiritually. And the woman, her mother received the bride price, and those, and that was her basis for telling me, according to scripture, that a believer can be under a curse. And then I looked and I was bewildered. And honestly, for the first time, very few times in my life that I don't have a response to give. That was one of the times. I don't like, my mouth was like. So all I could do was, please, just take this message and go and listen to it. Because I could never know where to start from to start opening the Bible. It was just weird. People build experiences based on different things. It is bad. So that's where we come to. Whose reports would you believe? Whose reports would you believe? Okay, so like I said, experiences leave a permanent, almost a permanent impression that is almost difficult to shake away from. I know some of you already mapped out how you are going to handle your kids that are misbehaving based on how you were handled or based on this thing, and you already talked and spoken different things concerning different areas of your life. What has not happened? You've already made provision for every available scenario that will happen. Everyone. Praise God. You'll be delivered today. Amen? 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 Praise God. All right, so what is the effect of fear? What's the effect of this fear? What is the effect of fear? Why do we have to bother about fear so much? Does it actually have any effect on us as believers? Does it have any influence over our own life? The funny thing is that fear in itself is an influencer, or it's an influence on its own. It's a driver, it's a motivator of men's actions. So fear can actually motivate your actions. For example, someone that is afraid of poverty, someone that is so scared of being broke and being poor, it can push the person to desperate means to avoid that. That's why you see armed robbery, you see stealing, you see corruption all around. People just taking billions that themselves and their generation can never exhaust. Just because I know where I'm coming from, so I want to ensure that my children don't suffer. And then it keeps driving you to different kind of extents. The fear of, just think about it, fear of, just balance whatever fear and see the counter effect it will have in a person's life. Fear actually regulates a person's life. It regulates their actions, even though they don't realize it. It controls what they say. It controls their speech. It controls their thoughts. Imagine that man that refused to stock up his shop. Why? Simply because there is a fear that by October 1st, all Northerners will drive out Igbos from here. And if you tell that man that, okay, you listen to fear they do you, he might argue with you. I tell you, I know they fear anything, nothing. But why are you not stocking your shop? So it is not a function of what you say. Like, we can see it in your speech. We can see it in your actions. We can see it in anything you do. We can just analyze and say, okay. It's fear that is worrying this one. Okay, so, and one of the deceptions that fear plays is the fact that it tries to tell you that your action is normal. So, you know, the devil thrives on deception. So he tells you that when, for example, decisions you have taken, like the person that thinks that all men cheat, it has sold a concept to you that's your thinking is normal. Like it's the normal way to think. So if anybody, you will not be thinking, any other person thinking otherwise is abnormal. So that's one way fear keeps men in bondage, by lying to you that it has already influenced your action or influenced everything you are doing, and then it still tells you and lies to you that this way you are acting is a very, very correct and normal way to act. There's nothing above this. There is nothing besides this. Okay. All right. So, oh my God. There are a lot of things we need to cover today. So fear keeps you in shadows. You're talking about the effects of fear. Fear keeps you in shadows. It prevents you from exercising dominion. It just prevents you from being the best you can be. Whether the fear of failure, the fear of poverty, even if you think it drives you, like some person that's okay, the fear of poverty is making them work so hard and they're just working, and you can see the result of it, that they have money, but it has kept them in other form of bondage that even they themselves are not aware of. So whenever your driver or your motivation for doing anything, no matter how right the thing looks, once that motivation is fear, just know that it has kept you in bondage, whether you realize it or not. Okay, now, we've talked about the origin of fear, right? When man sinned. But what was God's original intention? Genesis 1, now we are starting our study. This was just preamble. Genesis 1, 28. Are we there? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, Juliet, read your Bible. Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now we see God's original intention when he created man. He placed him and gave him dominion over every single thing that was on the surface of the earth. All right, let us look at Psalm 8. Okay. We'll start from verse 1. That's one song we sing a lot. Psalm 8, verse 1. Are we there? Okay. O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the parts of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now you see, the psalmist was talking, and he was saying, I see the things you have created. These things are marvelous. These things are wonderful. I see the sun, moon, stars, creation. They look very wonderful. Yet, this man that looks feeble and fragile is the one that you have put dominion over all these things. You have placed all things under his feet. Now, as at that time when David was singing that, was man actually in dominion over all things? Was man in dominion? Remember when we were doing understanding Genesis, and Pastor asked the question, that did man lose dominion in Genesis 3? Did man lose dominion? Did man lose it? So how come he couldn't exercise it? Glory to God. We are good students following. So man did not lose dominion. There was still legitimate dominion placed on man. That was why David could even still say it in Psalm 8, that this man you have created, you have put everything under his feet, yet we don't see it. Praise God. All right, so let us continue. So even though man was meant to be in charge, we could not see man subduing creation. We couldn't see man in charge the way we saw him in Genesis 2. And the only reason was fear. Fear. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Because of what has been introduced, because sin had been introduced to man, because man was now in union with the devil, with fear and the rest that prevented him and made him afraid, God made a promise. Genesis 3, are we there? Verse 15. Genesis 3, 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Praise God. So we see that even at that point in time, God already prophesied about the solution. That though man has been corrupted, or the world has been corrupted, and we can no longer see man exercise dominion. Man lived in fear, and he was afraid even of his own creator. God made a promise that he was going to put a separation. He was going to cause a division between that union that was already at play between man and the devil. All right, so let's continue. How was that done? Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay. We'll start reading from verse 8. Now, this was the same thing. This person was quoting from the psalm we read earlier, Psalm chapter 8. All right. Okay, let's start from verse 5. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9, can we all read it together? But we see who? We see who? Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So now, the writer of Hebrews was saying something, that though we saw in Psalm 8 that God put man in charge, man had dominion over everything, but we could not see man exercising dominion. Even then, we still could not see man. But who are we seeing? Jesus is a man, and he is the man actually that all things have now been put under his feet. Praise God. Psalm 1, we are going to go back to that Hebrews 2. Sorry, Luke 1. Let's just read Luke 1 first. From verse 72. Okay, let's just start reading from let's start from 67. Luke 1, 67. This is Zechariah talking. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. For he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Verse 74. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without what? myself in without what? In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now see how Zechariah was talking about the promise that God had made before the world, as in from when the world began. So we see that promise from Genesis 1, that this enemy, though he's looking now that he has power over man, though he's looking as though he actually has dominion because of the fear, God now said, God made a promise, and that promise has been reverberated through generations from all the prophets down, saying that he would deliver them from the hand of their enemies, and they will be able to serve without fear. Meaning that fear was one of the primary things that kept God's people in bondage, and they could not exercise whatever it was that God wanted them to exercise. So that fear primarily was what God came to deal with and handle. Praise God. All right, let's see Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Okay, from verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. So we see the scriptures and we see how God has fulfilled it, in that he made Christ to have all authority. He made Christ to have full dominion. How did Christ do it? By being raised from the dead, by being placed above all principalities and power. In that right now, there is no, the Bible says, whether in this world or in the world that is to come, whether in earth, underneath, heaven, anywhere, there is nothing above the authority of Christ. We see that in Ephesians 1. We see it in Philippians 2. So how Jesus is the one with all authority. Alright, so that is not disputed. Matthew 28. From verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So you see, all the Bible tried to do was to shift our focus. Because if you look at the fact that, oh, man is supposed to be in dominion and we are not exercising dominion, and oh, even lion that we are supposed to just tell and say, keep quiet, lion and crocodile and the rest were supposed to be our servants before. Now they are the one, we are not scared of them. If you keep looking at all those things, you will fall into despair. But the Bible says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, who is who? The author and the finisher of faith. That means you don't yet see anything put in. You don't see man as feeble as he is exercising full dominion. But who are you supposed to see? Jesus. So you see Jesus as the one with all authority, and in seeing that, you see yourself in him. That was why Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So you go. Meaning that we are the ones seated with him. Okay, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. The scriptures will know. We'll just keep reading them. Remember when we read Colossians 2, he said, you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Okay, Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So you see God's predestined plan, what it was, that he will gather all in him. Inside who? One man. Who is that person? Christ. So God was not planning to see different persons scattered. No, there is one man, and God sees every one of us in him. That is why we can say in Christ is seated far above all principality and powers. So we are seated where? We are seated where? So who is above all principality and powers? So the man in Christ is the man in Christ is the only man that can fully and effectively exercise dominion. So who is to exercise dominion? Man. But which man? The man in Christ. So you, as a man in Christ, you are the only one that can exercise full, complete dominion. Because the opposite of fear is dominion. Once you are not exercising dominion, it means in that particular area, whatever it is, you are still held bound by fear. All right, so let us read how Jesus did this. First John 4. First, there are a lot of scriptures to read. First John 4, verse 12 to 18. 1 John 4, 12 to 18. Are we there? First John 4, 12 to 18. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So you see how God freed us from fear by giving us his Spirit. The Bible says that we know, this is how we know that we are of God, that we have God's Spirit dwelling in us. And what is that Spirit? 2 Timothy 1, let's try and be as fast as we can. 2 Timothy 1, from verse 6 and 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, from verse 15. Romans 8, 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you see, there was a juxtaposition. This is what was before. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The people under the law, you know, in trying to fight fear, you put them under more fear or under more bondage. And so instead of the law being able to liberate man, of course it couldn't, they were, in fact, let's say your man is under this kind of fear, and then you now put the law on top of him and suppress him even more than under fear. That's why Paul said that we have not received the spirit again to fear, but what we have received is the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Meaning that once you have the spirit of God in you, automatically you don't have the spirit of what? Of fear. So now fear is not resident in the man in Christ. We'll settle that one first before we move on. You as the man in Christ, as long as you have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't have fear inside of you, and fear does not have dominion over you anymore. Praise God. All right, so how did this happen? Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans 1, 17. You know, there was one scripture that was repeated like three times in the New Testament. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. This same scripture was written in Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38. Saying that, you know, when you say the just shall live by faith, that word by, if you check it, it means origin. That means it is more like where you get your existence from. You as a believer, as the just, your existence, your roots, where you are birthed from is actually faith. The believer came forth from faith. The believer was birthed by faith. There is nothing that we have. There is nothing we can do. There is no, we don't exist outside faith. As in, God saved you as a believer by faith, and you are within a parameter of faith. You cannot exist, you and God, outside faith. So it's as if once you get born again, you get into a different sphere that is sheltered around, or in a separate world called the world of faith. And you are bound there. You don't have a choice. Praise God. Faith is the birthplace of the believer, and that is where he is. He said the righteousness of the law was revealed, which is from faith to faith. It is bettered by faith, and it leads to even more faith. So the origin is faith, and all the life you will live all round about is faith. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's look at Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We are saved by faith. Are we there? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So that is the origin of the believer from his salvation. By faith, righteousness, by faith. There are a lot of scriptures, will not go into that. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God by faith. We are sanctified by faith. Anything at all you want to, any premise you have to lay hold on between you and God is by faith. Nothing else. So it's the life of faith we have been called to live in. We have been destined to live a life of faith. And that is the only way we can overcome fear in our daily walk. That is why it is living above fear, which is the life of faith. Praise God. And what births faith? The word of God. So we cannot start talking about faith without talking about the word of God. Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the faith you even had to believe in the first place is from the word of God. That's why Jesus said, the word I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. Meaning that the words, words are not just empty things. The words can actually create and change whatever circumstance we can think about. How do we know? Can you see faith physically? Can you see faith? Can you look at faith passing and say, okay, this man has faith? We know a man that has faith. How? By the things he says. So, show me your faith. I can see it by what you are saying. How do we live above fear? How does God himself change circumstances or create things? By faith, we understand that the words were framed. How? So it is our words that framed our existence. Our words are what changes any circumstance that you have. So if you want to tell me, instead of wasting your time saying, I'm not afraid though, I'm not in fear of this one. Rather, you should imagine, you know, the flip side of the coin. If you want to travel, rather than saying accidents will not see us, or amoebas will not see us, or we will not, you know, rather than saying that, what, you know, you can be praying that and be thinking that you, what you're actually saying is faith. But actually it's not. Because your mind is first of all fixed on the power of the, as in, it's like, this is a sure thing that will happen on the road. Oh, may I be excused? Or, you know, when we talked about effectiveness in prayer, and pastor said something that when you have prayed concerning a situation, what you keep saying, now you pray to God concerning the situation, and you address the situation as who? Oh, you're forgetting. You address the situation as God. So now, you, if you are saying you're praying to God and you're like, oh, this. But when it comes to speaking to the circumstance, you're no longer begging God, in quote, to act. Or you're not begging the circumstance. Rather, you are speaking to the circumstance as God would speak to it. And which is what? Calling those things that be not as though they were. Because if it's your physical eyes that are not yet seeing the change you want to see. But if you can look into the world or see it through the eyes of faith, in quotes, and then you see it as real as it, you know, God sees us in, I don't know, it's not stage by stage. Like, you just see and see a perfect picture. Imagine, especially persons that bake, and then they already have the thing in their mind, or even these days now, you just see a picture of, they send you a picture, I want this exact cloth, or I want this cake, and then you put that one in front of you as a finished work, and then you are doing everything, patterning it according, so that whatever you are doing can reflect that. Do you understand? So also, as a believer, whatever you are seeing should not be the fact that, okay, right now I'm seeing just scattered pieces of flour, cake, sugar, this one, and yes, I want to bring out cake. And because you feel you are just seeing, like, especially me, I don't know how to bake. So for me, if I see all those things, okay, I know how to bake now, yeah, I know. If you see all those things, I can be overwhelmed, like, what am I doing here? But rather than seeing these things, seeing just sugar separate, I keep putting what in my mind? Cake. And then even if I put it in my mind from beginning to tomorrow, with the cake up here, you have to do something about it. And what is our own doing as believers? We speak it. So how do we fight fear? How do we fight fear? How do we fight fear? By the words that we speak. The proof of our faith is the things we see. We see it in words. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We're about to close. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we do what? We believe and we do what? Good. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 from verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Are we there? Okay. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now we see the parallel line. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How did he do that? By putting a spirit in you, which abides in you forever. So what is your own duty? What's your own duty? To boldly say. To boldly say. Don't just be saying, you know, there's a way you can just be saying something. We know. To boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Boldly. 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 And if it was this easy, well, life would have been a free ride. But faith is actually a fight. Praise God. As in the faith that we live in this world, in this fallen world, is a fight. It's not passive. Remember what we talked about, overwhelming evidence. If you just say, I have faith, you will drown in the midst of contrary opposition. You will drown. Because the things that will come at you will drown out and stifle whatever it is that you're trying to build up from inside. So you have to ensure that your own atmosphere, your own sphere, your own words, your own circumstance, or the things you say, your own evidence surpasses that of the reality around you. And it's a fight. Why? Because you don't need to pay society to come and give you bad news. Remember, whether you close your ear, close your eye, close your mind, close anything, it will come at you like a flood. You will just be seeing the evidence all around you. Even when you just feel like, okay, you have achieved one thing or you have made a little progress, all of a sudden you just see, like, imagine climbing one step, and then as you are celebrating, your eyes just flash up and you see a million more steps to climb. That's the kind of evidence the world pours. It just keeps pouring. Maintaining your faith in that circumstance is a fight. Your faith is both a shield and a weapon. You know, remember taking the shield of faith with which you will quench, right? So you are... Faith is a fight. Are you ready to fight the fight? To live above fear is a fight of faith. You'll have to ensure that your own voice is not drowned out. You have to ensure that you are not submerged. You have to ensure that you just keep... No matter what it wants to throw at you, no matter the evidence, you just go to the doctor and then they are telling you, as little as you are, they are tracing generational sicknesses. You see, in your family, everybody have been having diabetes. Like, I run in the gym, so I see a lot of persons, oh my, just say, he said me, I knew from beginning that I was going to have diabetes because it runs in my family. All the women in my own side, when they get a particular age, they always have diabetes. So that just framed our own consciousness. And it goes to our own age, she had diabetes. So it's easy for you to just start to want to stand, just to be drowned in the midst of all the evidence. And then you still go to the doctor and say, doctor will even be the one advising you. See, by next year you have diabetes because this is the age it gets to. And then you start, how do you counter that? It's not a passive thing. It's not by saying, I will not have diabetes. It doesn't work that way. You have to stand. The difference why it looks as if we are not triumphing, in quotes, we are not living a victorious life, is because we have not stood our ground long and hard enough. Whose report will you believe? Who shall believe the report of the Lord? And to whom shall the hand of the Lord be revealed? That means it's the person that believes God's own report that God's arm is extended to it. And God has said it. He's not going to keep saying. You are the one that will pick what he has said and use it to change and frame your own word. Meaning, you are already in school and calculating. You know, you have all the evidence. It's there. Even among your siblings, you have people that don't have jobs. They have been looking for jobs. They have looked and job as, in fact, I don't know. And then you keep hearing, this Nigerian, I don't know, we've been hearing that from when we were in school. If you don't have a first class, when we were in school, we're hearing, if you don't have a first class, forget about it. No job for you. And then only for us to realize that even people that had the first class still did not have jobs. Have you not seen them? And then you just give up. Like, okay, if you want to throw the part of I'll work hard and have a first class, and then you work hard and have the first class, and then the first class is just first to you. You are the first class in your own village. It doesn't affect anybody, nada. And you are just, okay, what next? You must hold on to something higher. You must imagine, how can you tell somebody? You see people... In fact, the other confession is right now, Nigeria, no hope. Like somebody has said, I won't come up for this country, I just go find my level. You say, no, if you come out, that was the conversation the boss yesterday. If you come out, who go God change? I beg you, won't not change. If you change, I go come. If you not change, I don't come back. That's just the average man will still want to just be looking for. And the funny thing, you just think that your solution is living out of the country. You see people outside the country and still don't have jobs. So it's not a geographical change. The faith is not, it's everywhere, it's the world over. How do you stand your ground? How do you stand your ground? You know, all I can say is that we have been sentenced to a life of faith. Like, we don't have a choice. There's no backup plan. My alumni fellowship, we have a slogan, cheer up, brethren, the world works. Is it that the world works or the world works? Do you have an alternative? Is that the world works or it works? So you just stay there. This world must do what? It must work. Because the world will work. But how do we keep being dogged? See, Christianity isn't for us, at least for us, except you have a backup. Christianity is not a test run. You know how you just enter one car, If we break down for road, anywhere you stop, we enter another one, go. Abi, so long as we arrive at our destination, any the fastest. Questions like that. Where do you want to fall back to, Islam? Or you want to come meet the everybody in your village? You don't have a backup plan. You are just confined to this. So in the midst of, and there was no promise of smooth ride. Jesus himself used his mouth and said, in this world, you will have what? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So it is, as long as we're in this world, there is just going to be a lot of things pulling on. It's not going to happen once. Even the things, even our realities on faith. How do you come back and you just say, okay, today the world is at work in me, I will heal the sick, I'll raise the dead. And then you have gone to pray for like 15 dead persons, and then they won't pursue you, they don't even want to see you near anywhere. How do you keep up your faith in that circumstance? How? How do you see, or you say, keep seeing yourself like, I see that I will raise men into the ministry. Men will come into the fold through me. I will be a great evangelist. I will get men saved. And then for 5 months, you just keep preaching to everybody you see, and no one, in fact, they're about to even convince you to Islam. How do you maintain your faith in that circumstance? How do you justify the fact that you lay hands and you keep praying for everybody to be well, and nobody has gotten well? It's a fight of faith. Because if your faith can be crippled, if your faith can be altered, if you can accept the other report, that's the end. You go to heaven, no? That one. But remember what Pastor was thinking when he talked about effectiveness in prayers? He said you will get to heaven and you will not find one unanswered prayer. I said one. You won't find. That means we will not find, God will not have any apology to give to anyone of us. I say, actually, this thing you prayed, I was still considering whether you deserve it. You know, there are many things we used to say that the Lord, oh, that poverty is God's will. So that because if you are rich, you will not be able to serve God. So there are some persons that the will of God for their life is poverty. As the God's will is that they should just have, you know, they will not have too much. They will just, God will need, meet your need part time. So you need Maggie. Oh Lord, I need Maggie. And then the Lord will bring Maggie. Don't ask for more than you need. Just be per time, ask for what you need. That's how we actually grew up thinking that's God. Because if you have more than that, who was praying that prayer? Don't give me too much so that my heart and my eyes will not forgive you. And the person prayed the prayer, I had too many things though. Why did he not get to him as he was? He's to have 1,000 wives, it beans. And he gave people prayer to be praying. Don't give me more, too much, so that my heart will not forget you. Don't give me too little, so that the enemy will not laugh at me. And that's your people's will. That was when we talked about redeeming the times. The first thing was understand what the will of God is. Because if you don't understand it fully, you'll be like this. Is it God's will? Imagine somebody saying in church one day and say, "Women, I'm speaking to all of you." People will be crying, "Oh Lord, give me the fruit of the womb. Give me the fruit of the womb. Give me the fruit of the womb." And when God gives you just one child, two child, you cannot serve God again. You don't come to church, you don't come to weekly activity. That's why God has refused to give some people children. Because they know if... You've not heard this before. I'm giving you a rhema. Because, see, there are some persons, as you are now, you are always in the house of God. If God give you one child, you will not serve him again. You will just be complaining, "Oh, it's the children you gave me." If God takes away these children, now what will you do? So you see that? So because of, people will not be, you are in a special circumstance. You don't have money, you don't have jobs, you don't have anything, and you are still trying to understand if that is the will of God for you. You are failed already. As if you are not even in the fight of faith. You are not even there. You are still very much in union with the devil. You and him, both of you are collabo, releasing a duet. Continue finding out the will of God. Until you know first that the will of God is for you to have a pleasant life. The fact that we say we don't teach prosperity in church does not mean that it's not God's will that you should prosper. It is God's will that a man prospers. Why? He puts their... What is there any resource that will make a man rich that is not on the surface of the earth? Is there? So God has given man everything he needs to prosper. If you are not wealthy, look at yourself. Don't look at God. Look at yourself. I say it again. Because God, he doesn't have anything to do with him at all. The only thing he has guaranteed you, that he did by himself and guaranteed is your salvation. So I'm sorry if you heard the gospel of come unto Jesus, all ye that labor. Are you broke? Come to Jesus. You can't feed your family? Come to Jesus. You don't have money? Come to Jesus. You don't have a job? Come to Jesus. If that's the gospel you heard, I feel sorry for you. Because you will come to Jesus and then you'll be looking at Jesus. And Jesus will tell you, have all authority, man. Heal the sick. And you're like, don't be sickness, watch up. Give us money. It is God coming to Jesus that ain't giving you nothing. Otherwise, man, I don't know the Jesus that all these Bill Gates went to. Let us go and ask them their own Jesus. There's no guarantee. He promises you something better, that with faith, you yourself will do what? Wage a good warfare. That you are the one with all authority. Not that you're not going to tell Bill Gates, like the testimony I heard somebody was giving, that you open your mouth, that I have power in my mouth, so I just tell you, give me your laptop, and then you give me. And then I carry your laptop and go. And that's the power of God at work. Not that kind of dominion, no. That's not the dominion we're talking about. That's oppression. That's the dominion we're talking about. But in Christ, you are the one that can actually exercise dominion. You are, as in, there is no other person on the surface of the earth. So long as you are not in Christ, you cannot have full dominion. Only the man in Christ can have all things under his feet. Now, are we seeing all things under your feet? What is that thing that keeps holding you back? What's that thing you have been battling with? That once it comes to this area, even yourself, you are not yet sure whether it's God's will. With all the word you have heard, though. Why is it that it comes to a particular area, it is hard for you to just speak God's word concerning it? How do you overwhelm? You know, then, when you just see people, you are going through it. It's not now that people are looking for quick fixes. You are going through one addiction, or you are going through one sickness. We'll analyze all the scriptures that talk about healing. You can gather healing tapes and books, Abby, and sit on it and just keep feeding it, feeding it, feeding it, feeding it until it reconditions your mind. And then you can, nothing else enters, as you are just, because the mind, the truth is that whatever enters your mind does not enter or to delete. It's just there somewhere. It's hiding there. You are the one that should take information and flood it to put it at one bag that you can no longer remember. Some of us, when we were in school, we knew the lyrics of every Westlife or this. We knew a lot of things. It's just there. But now there are sometimes you will not be struggling to, what was that? I knew it. It's still there. If you pay more attention and go and feed it again, it will resurrect. So it is the more things you feed. That means that no matter the contrary information you have concerning situation, concerning fear, once you can feed yourself with the right things, those things will. They will go, as in, they will just, they will, they cannot, they will lose their hold. So what do you want to change? How do you want to live above fear? Because that is actually God's, that's God's will. That is why he died, that is why he gave you the spirit, that you will be able to live above fear. That nothing can by any means hurt you. That you are the perfect replica of the man who has all authority. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Why? Because I'm a child of God. That's the only solution. So there's no other solution more than what has been given to you. But how will you fight it? What do you have? What words do you have? What is the contrary thing you have to show that when the society brings its own report? We have long years ahead of us. There are battles that we want to show themselves. There are battles. And we will not wait for the battles to come. You will not start waiting until the doctor tells you you cannot have a child before you now start doing emergency prayer. Oh, Lord, you are the one that remembered Anna and turned the girl captive, all those prayers. It's not now. It's not then. You frame your word now. Because there are many subtle things you have just accepted. So it's very subtle. You don't know you have accepted it. That's why you just continuously cleansing. You know that's cleansing. Cleansing. Every time, your mind is just being It's just being cleansed. You tell yourself again, overwhelming victory is mine through Christ. I am more than conquerors through Christ. How many times we go in a day and just face ourselves in the mirror? You know when you used to face yourself in the mirror then? I'm sure Brahosi did it a lot. Just be talking, are you preaching to yourself? Oh, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, nothing can harm you. Oh, when did last did you do that? When last did you do that? And then you expect that you just, you know, Pastor keeps saying that he hates probability. He hates time and chance. You just assume that, why are people, some people's life just goes easy. They did not even struggle, they just got a job. You don't know the words they've spoken over their lives. You don't know. How someone will be awake from 12 midnight to 6 a.m. confessing, only confession. I will serve the Lord. I will not have a job that will derail me. I will have money. I will be blessed. I will confession. 6 hours, one day, every day, months. And you expect to live the same life with that person. It's time to face your fears. So, let the society be screaming, screaming, screaming. You only lose it when you accept it and back down. It's only when you back down and say, ah, okay, let us just be going. Let's see how it comes. Let's just be going. Let's just see how it goes. You know that life of let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. You know, the funny thing was, if you read the story of Esau and Jacob, Esau came to go and prepare, what's it called? Ram stew, whatever they call that thing, he went to prepare. For his father to bless him. And then the mother just quickly puts this thing and Jacob got the blessing, right? And we just felt, ah, Jacob has gotten the blessing because God has already said, how did they say it again? Esau, God had chosen Esau, I've been choking. Those things we used to say. But you know the funny thing? Did you know what Isaac told Esau? That he said, I'm powerless. I can't bless you. I've given the blessing to your brother. However, if you become restless, he will break his yoke off his neck. Off your neck. Do you understand? That means your brother will rule over you. I cannot change it. He will have dominion over you. That is how I have blessed him. But if you become restless, as in the day you say, I don't want, you will break that yoke from your own neck. That is a man without Christ too. A man without, that a man that is not under all authority, as you say it. And did Esau not amount to his own? Did he not have his own nation? Did the lack of blessing, in quotes, stop him? So some people will say, it has been written in the stars, or how did your generation, it has been coming like that. Yet they tell a man that does not have the Spirit of God, that does not have the power of God that's working him. Tell him that if you can be restless, if you can refuse the situation, the yoke of him over you will be broken. And Jacob came back and he was afraid of Esau, the one with all blessing. Was afraid. We can't just accept things and say, okay, it is, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. We should deliberately be looking for things to change. Like, just go and find the fear. Do you understand? Don't wait until the fear. Just be, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. What is it? Just, you know, this won't there be where the day when where people want to fight? They just carry, they don't have power. You can slap them and they will fall. But the way you have talked, just carry bottle like it's breaker. When did they show me yourself? Go bring bottle for the way the guy is even talking. You will just be clearing road. But the day you see someone that is bigger than him, that just say, that's when you know that he did not have power. But that initial stance of go, go, go already shows that I will not afraid of you. You don't need to wait for the circumstance to happen before you start declaring now. Declare it now boldly, 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 boldly. I am a child of God. I am the one in whom all authority lies. No matter, even if you go out, no matter the disappointments you get, whether in the things of the spirit, you still come back and say, in this life, me, I will raise the dead. I will get men saved. Ah, by my words, the kingdom of God will receive a reawakening. Because the Bible says of his increase, of the increase of his kingdom and of his government, there shall be no end. When you are receiving reports that Christians are being slaughtered everywhere, Islam is taking over, these people are just, you will refuse and say no. The Bible spoke concerning Jesus that of the increase of his kingdom and his peace, there will be no end. It means that it is us that will forcefully keep advancing, and you refuse it. Don't join the people that will say, it's true, Christians, we don't have power. They just come and just slaughter you. We can't defend ourselves. Of the increase of his kingdom and of his peace, there will be no end. We are the ones with all authority. We do not back down. There is no fear here. You say all the things. Even tomorrow you meet an unfortunate circumstance, you stand up and say, hey, I am the one in whom sickness and death has no power. I am the one in whom sickness, you will boldly say it. You are lying down dead, you will boldly say it. You will boldly say it, because you're actually the one that death has no power over. You will boldly say it. The only way to fight fear is to speak and fight with faith. Faith is not passive, it's a fight of it. It is very, very active. You stand your ground. You are standing. I'm not shaking. You will, whether the breeze is coming from here, because you have an assurance. The Bible says this hope leads beyond the veil. There is an anchor of our own faith. And our hope does not make ashamed. The Bible says we'll look upon him and we will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed for trusting Jesus. You're not the one that will be mocked because you trusted Jesus. Your faith will not put you to shame. So you refuse it. Forget about contrary evidence. Even if they are saying this man is a man of God and he has been saying he will not be sick and yet he's sick. You are not the man. You are not the man. It is your own fight of faith. Refuse what you don't want. We are going to live above fear. In this land, in this territory, the gospel will prevail no matter how much it looks. But it will not happen by us coming back and being dejected and not wanting to try again. Whether it takes a month, it takes months, it takes years, we will keep at it until the change comes, until the change we'll see happens, because it has actually already happened. But we must bet it forth. We will see it until we see it with our eyes. We are not satisfied. We will not back down. 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 We refuse to accept a contrary report. We refuse to accept it. We refuse to accept it. We refuse to accept it. Whether in our marriages, whether in our emotional lives, whether in our health, we refuse to accept a contrary report. When you are restless, you will break it. No matter what, you will break it. You will break it. It's a fight of faith. You have been tested. You have been sentenced to it. You don't have an option. There is no backup plan. The word has to work. It's either it works or it works. We don't have anything else to use. We don't have money to pay our way through life. There are things money cannot even answer to. There are things money cannot answer to. Concerning your parents' health, you will not back down. You will not back down. You will not back down. Concerning your parents' health, you will receive life even on their behalf. It is not your money that will be used to be transporting your aged parents from one hospital to the other. You will not back down. 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 A lot of persons try to just say, look to yourself, or look at you, receive what talent do you have? What are you good at? No, the Bible says looking unto Jesus. That's all we have. That's all we have. And we are just fortunate because all authority is his. That means there is nothing that is not placed under his feet. There's nothing we cannot change by that. Our words are spirit and life. Proverbs says, who is he that loves good days? Let him keep his mouth from evil and his lips from saying guile. The person that wants to see good days, keep your lips from saying guile. Keep your lips from evil. Don't confirm the devil's words. Don't go and be in agreement with him. He's saying one thing and you're agreeing. It's true. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's very, very true. Devil, you are right. don't back down. We don't back down. It is what we want. It's what we want. It's what we want. The same way, if you, how do you get righteousness consciousness? Even if you are falling into sin, even if you keep doing one thing over and over again, you keep saying, I am the righteousness of God. You keep declaring your own righteousness. That's the same way you declare your faith. Boldly proclaim it. In the midst of contrary evidence, you will say it loudly. We are not speaking enough. We are not speaking enough. See, I challenge you. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait till you have kids. What are you going to teach your children? How are you going to teach them to handle their issues? Don't wait. He that loves life and wants to see good days, let him keep his mouth from evil and his lips from guile. By your words, you will shape it. Don't give your destiny confusion. This mouth you are saying the same thing. One area I say, be steadfast in what you are saying. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He cannot have anything. You are fixed on it. You are not saying one thing today and then tomorrow you agree. We'll pick a stand. Is it that faith or fear? Choose you this day. If you are not fighting according to faith, just know that fear already has dominion over you. There is no middle ground. Your faith is worth fighting for. Your faith is worth protecting. Faith is worth protecting. Oh. Faith is worth protecting. Let's be on our feet and just pray. Let's be on our feet and just speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues and let words fill your consciousness. Pray in tongues until you edify your mind. You see things that just become real and speak it forth. As in, pray in tongues. You can pray concerning a specific circumstance and just speak. Let it be so real in your mind and just bring forth words. See, this is our life. This is our life. As in, there is no backup. This is our life. Christianity is our life. We don't have an alternative. This is our life. God is our only option. The words of faith are our only, this is the only thing we have. It's the only weapon we have. We must use it. Is it that it works or it works? It has to work. It has to work. It has to work. Oh, it has to work. It has to work. It has to work. It has to work. That situation has to change. By the power of God, it will change. It will change. It will change. By the power of God, it will change. By the power of God, it will change. It will change. I am no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I am not a slave to fear. I'm not a slave to unrighteousness. I am a child of God. I am in Him who has all dominion. Oh, all things are under my feet. All things are under my feet. Nothing dies in my hand. Nothing dies in my hand. I am not a failed project. Ah, the path of the righteous is as a shining light. It can only get better and better. Unto the perfect day, my path shines better and better. In the name of Jesus. It shines brighter and better. In the name of Jesus. Fear has no hold over my mind. Fear has no hold over my mind. Fear has no hold over my mind. Oh, I'm a child of God. I have the spirit of power. I am not in bondage to fear. In the name of Jesus. Oh, that yoke is broken. That affliction is broken. It is broken in the name of Jesus. Masha frekata sakapalatish. Ekovakata samata tashalachis. Ikravanta bakalesh. Oh, we refuse it. Anabaka lato never. There has already been an enmity. There is a division already between me and the devil. We can no longer be in agreement. I refuse to take his side. I refuse to take his side in this decision. I refuse to take his side. I will not accept his report. Whether something is happening, I will not accept his report. God has put an enmity between us. God has put an enmity between us. I refuse to be on his side. I refuse to be on his side. I refuse to accept his report. It will change. It will change. It will change. Oh, by the power of God, it will change. It will change. He does not have a choice. He does not have a choice. All power in heaven and on earth, underneath the earth, whether in hell, has been given to God. He has delivered us from the fear of death. Because all our life we are subject to death. No, we will no longer be under that slave. We will no longer be under that bondage. We will not accept that doctor's report. We will not accept that doctor's report. We will not accept that life sentence. It is not the end of our faith. Who has the final word? We do. We have the final word. We have the final say. We have the final say. We bet our will on earth. We bet our will on earth. We bet it. We receive and we exercise all dominion, all authority. All authority. That's how we please God. Because that is the original plan and intention. That you subdue the earth. That you subdue it. Whether we live in a fallen world, whether the law of sin and death is still at play. No, we are not victims of circumstances. We refuse it. We refuse it. Our paths are ordered. Our steps are ordered. A straight way is made for our feet. All the valleys have been filled up. The mountains are leveled. The crooked paths are made straight. The dry lands are filled with water. There is an overflowing stream. What is before us? It shall be leveled. It shall be leveled. We live above fear. We live above fear. We are the triumphant ones. We are the blessed ones. We live above fear. We live above fear. We live above fear. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed so that things which were not are better for things that are. Our words we create. We will channel our path. But most especially, we will not be in agreement with the devil. We will not accept his report. All the days of our life, we will fight it. We will not accept his report. We will not accept his report. He will not have the final say. He will not have the final say. He will not have the final say. We are not plagued by any generational curse. God forbid, we are a new lineage. If anyone be in Christ, is a new creature. The limitations of our past are gone. God forbid it. God forbid it. We are not the ones in need of deliverance because we have been delivered already. We stand fast in our own liberty. No matter the evidence, the gospel prevails in this land. No matter how we look and see hijab, abal, and left, right, and center, the gospel prevails. There is no Islamic nation. There is no Islamic state. There is no Islamic nation. There is no nation programmed for Islam. We give no ground. We cede no territory for the devil. We cede none. Have our seat. It's a fight of faith, brethren. The fight of faith. As in, let it ring in your head that you don't have a backup plan. You don't have plan B. You know, it's when you know you have plan B, that's when you can be doing like this. If it does not work, we'll go and try this one. You don't have plan B. It just has to work. You don't have another choice. There's nothing to fall back on. There's no cushion. If you accept the devil's report, you are falling straight into his hands. No. We refuse it. We fight this. We fight the fight of faith to the end. Hallelujah. Okay, Pastor gave the following announcement. On Friday, there's vigil. Prepare for that. Vigil on Friday. I think we'll start by 10.